Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, too often, like Nicodemus, we think we have it all figured out, only to then realize that we're still in desperate need of the Spirit's wisdom. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, help us to not only gain knowledge, but to encounter Jesus. Guide us by your Spirit, Father, so that our understanding would not rest on our own efforts, but on the power of your grace. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, you made it. Praise the Lord. 8 weeks, right? Funny stories. We're going to start a 16-week series next week. Just kidding. But I'm excited about this message. Now, I recognize the past 2, maybe 3 weeks, somebody's been a little long-winded up at the pulpit. So today should be a little bit different. Maybe not 40 minutes. Maybe it'll be, 38 and a half. So, no, but I appreciate your patience and grace as we've gone through this. There's just a lot to unpack when we talk about what questions Jesus has asked, especially about faith last week, which was probably the longest one that we had. But there's just a lot of things to unpack. And we have to unpack them, and sometimes we have to do like a really deep dive to understand, which, interestingly enough, is what today's message is all about. The question about understanding, that's the title of today's message. Now, have you ever been into a situation where you thought you knew something, and then as you continued on, you're like, "Ooh, man, I really don't get this." We know. Like math, right? Math. I don't know what the devil was thinking, but that's math, right? I despise math. I'm not very good at it. Amanda is awesome at it. But even a couple years ago, Genevieve was terrible at math. And then she and Amanda would sit at our kitchen table as Amanda would try to help Genevieve with math. And it would end up with both of them crying, right? But the difference is, last year, Genevieve had an amazing math teacher who helped her understand how to do, X plus Y equals dumb, whatever. I don't know what it is, but why there's letters in math, I'll never understand, right? But this teacher was amazing, and Genevieve had an A in math from the beginning of class until school was over because she had somebody to help her understand. And that's what we're asking God to do for us this morning. We've all probably been there, right, where we've had something in our life where we just didn't understand, but, we just like, fake it till you make it type of situation, right? You go into a restaurant and maybe the server asks, you want this steak Pittsburgh rare, and because you don't want to be like, I don't know what that means, so I'll just say, yeah, sounds great. And it turns out it's like a steak where they maybe just lit a match and then just, right? Really, it's probably more blue than anything, right? Because we don't understand. And that's what happens in John chapter 3. We're going to talk about, really, what we saw this video, that is the message. And, I think it was like 2 minutes and 54 seconds. That is the message in a 2 minute and 54 second nutshell of how Nicodemus just didn't understand what was going on. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the entire thing of John 3, 1 through 15, and then we're going to kind of break it down verse by verse. So let's start with verse number 1. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "How can anyone be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. "You are a teacher of Israel and don't know these things," Jesus replied. "Truly I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So really the entirety of this message, it really hinges on verse number 10. Are you a teacher of Israel and don't understand these things? Are you a teacher of Israel and don't understand these things? So really the question in John 3:10 is about understanding. It's not just intellectual understanding, but spiritual understanding. Not just knowledge in the head, but truth in our hearts. So let's walk through this passage and see what Jesus is asking Nicodemus and why he struggled. Nicodemus struggled. So verse 1, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus was the kind of guy who, like, you walk into church and people like, "Oh, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows what it says. He knows the law. Everything is good to go, man. He is smart. He is a scholar. This guy is on point." This is what people are thinking. He's very well respected. You know, he's like the guy who, you know, if you ever done like Bible memory, you know, competitions or whatever, he's the one. Like, not only judged it, but, like, he's like the creator of the Bible memory thing, right? Like, he is just the amazing scholar. But why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? If he knows all these things, why did he then instead come and meet Jesus under darkness at nighttime? Good question. I'm glad you asked. I mean, so the Pharisees, they weren't like invited to many dinner parties, right? They weren't big pals with everybody else. The Pharisees, so Nicodemus sneaks in under the cover of darkness. Why? Because he knows that Jesus is different. He recognizes that Jesus is different. And if you've seen that entire episode of The Chosen, that's where that video came from, you kind of see how that unfolds, and there's kind of a lot of sneaking around because Nicodemus knows that Jesus is different. He's doing miracles and teaching with authority, and then Nicodemus admits this in verse 2. It says, this man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Now, that's a pretty strong confession, wouldn't you say, from Nicodemus? Now, Nicodemus, you know, he's still missing something, though. He's still missing something. He knows about Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus. He knows about Jesus, or he knows about Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus. Yet he's impressed with all these different miracles and all these different things, but he doesn't know Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't like pat him on the head and be like, yep, that's what I'm doing. That's a good little Nicodemus. No, that's not what Jesus does. What does he do? He looks at his heart. He looks at his heart. In verse 3, this is what Jesus replied. Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you kind of saw Nicodemus' face in the video, but just imagine, you know, when Jesus said that, no one can enter the kingdom unless they're born again. And of course, Nicodemus is like, well, you know, I can't go back in my mother's womb, number one. Even if she were alive, that would be physically impossible. But it's ridiculous. How is that even going to be a thing? How can I do that? What are you talking about? And this is what Nicodemus says in verse 4. How can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him, can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Now let's pause. Let's pause and see. Nicodemus, again, a brilliant religious scholar, is taking Jesus literally when Jesus is speaking spiritually. He's taking him literally. That's like when you're out and it's just pouring down rain and somebody's saying, you know, man, it's raining cats and dogs, and you look up at the sky and look for a golden retriever, right? That's what Nicodemus, he's thinking literally instead of viewing it spiritually, eternally. And Jesus explains in verse 5 and 6, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here's the point. Physical birth gives us physical life, but spiritual birth gives us eternal life. We don't need a new body. We need a new heart. We don't need self-improvement. We need spirit transformation. We need to be transformed. And of course, what does 2 Corinthians 5 say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. All right, we are transformed when we accept Jesus as our Savior, right? We are completely transformed. And, of course, Jesus recognizes that Nicodemus is struggling, right? Like he's not understanding it very well or very easily. So in verse 8, Jesus says, "As the wind blows where it pleases and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So Jesus is taking this, you know, an everyday thing, especially in North Dakota, right? Talking about wind. We don't see wind. We feel it. You know, I feel it with my beard, you know, just kind of in the, I mean, even though it looks majestic when it's just blowing, right? We don't see it, but we feel it. That's what he's talking about. The same concept. You can feel its effects. And when we have the Spirit, you can feel those effects. You can feel when you have the Spirit in you, when, you know, you can feel when he's nudging you to do something, or when he's trying to convict you, or when he's trying to correct you, or whatever it is, you feel it deep in your soul. And that's how the Spirit works. You can't always explain it. You can't see him directly, but you know he's real. When you see a life transformed, when bitterness turns to forgiveness, when addiction is broken, when fear turns into faith, that's what it feels like, right? That's what the Spirit does to us as followers of Jesus Christ. And understanding definitely requires revelation. So why didn't Nicodemus understand? Right? I mean, he had Jesus right in front of him trying to explain, trying to get him to understand. Why could he not understand it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, but the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. You can't Google your way to salvation, right? You can't pull up some YouTube videos to get some sort of spiritual rebirth. It has to be revealed by grace through faith. By grace through faith from the cross, what Jesus did on the cross. Now, the one thing of this entire passage is when Jesus starts talking about a snake. Right, verses 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, Jesus is referencing Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites had sinned, and God had sent venomous snakes to be among them. And when people cried out, God told Moses to make this bronze snake, and when people would look up, then they would be saved. That's a really strange story, wouldn't you say? Kind of odd. But this is the point. Salvation didn't come from people working harder, trying harder, or bargaining with God. It came from looking up in faith. Right? Looking up in faith. Like, how many times when we might be struggling, there might be some weird stuff going on in our own lives, and instead of, you know, looking up, you know, with our arms wide open, our palms up, and just saying, oh, God, I need you. I mean, this should be like literally every second of every day of our lives. But instead, we're like, maybe we're just super hyper-focused on what's ahead and how we can get to, you know, step B or step C instead of how he can help us get to where he wants us to go. We need to look up. Jesus, of course, when we're talking about looking up, he's talking about him. Look up to me. Be in this relationship with me and rely on me, right? Not on you, right? Not on your pastor, not on a friend, but rely on Jesus. Rely on Jesus for everything that we do. Now, Nicodemus had religion, right? He understood. He had the knowledge of the law. He had this reputation, but he didn't have a new birth. He didn't have a new birth. You know, some of us have been in the same boat, right? We've sung songs, or we've, you know, been participating in different Bible studies or whatever. Like, we kind of walked, or we talked the talk, but we didn't really walk the walk. And Nicodemus was able to talk a really good talk, but he wasn't walking the walk that Jesus was talking about. Jesus' question, are you a teacher and don't understand, reminds us that pride blinds us to truth. Pride blinds us to truth. Now, I'm not going to speak for you, but I would argue that each of us have let pride some way wiggle its way into our lives when we're trying to do something. And because of that, the truth then gets a little cloudy, right? Because we're too focused on ourselves or what we can do on our own instead of relying on God. And that pride just clouds the actual truth. Jesus said in Matthew 18, truly, I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, children don't overcomplicate things. Until they become a teenager, then, super complicated, right? But little children, they don't complicate things. That's why we need to be like little children. They trust us, right? They believe us. Be like a child. Salvation comes through the cross. The bronze stake pointed forward to Jesus on the cross, and that's where true understanding happens, when we look at the cross. When we look and see what Jesus has done for us, the painful death that he had on the cross for us, for you, for me, people completely undeserving of that grace, that's where we see it. That's where we see it. And perhaps that's our story today. Right? Maybe we have come into this confused. We don't understand. You know, we have knowledge of Jesus, but we don't know him. Right? We don't have this deep rooted, amazing relationship with Jesus. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe that's someone in your life and your sphere of influence. Maybe that's where they're at this morning or today or, you know, this week or whatever. We need to point them to Jesus, just like Jesus is pointing us to him in everything that we do. We need to be those vessels that the Holy Spirit is using to point people to him. Understanding Jesus isn't about passing a test. It's about trusting a Savior. It's not about having all the answers. It's about believing the one who is the answer. It's about believing the one who is the answer. Now, that's what faith is, right? Really believing what is unseen, right? Maybe we don't physically see Jesus, but we feel his Holy Spirit in our lives and everything that we're doing, we feel this, and that's how we're able to kind of navigate this thing called life and honor him at the same time, right? That is what it's all about. So do we understand? Have we been born again? Have we looked up at the Son of Man lifted on the cross and then believed? Right? Because really, what's the verse after our passage this morning? It's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And that's really the best understanding. God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Like, that's really what this is all about, is understanding the magnitude of what Jesus did on the cross. That he died for you and for me so we could then live eternity with him. I mean, that is the greatest gift I have ever gotten. And I pray that you feel the same way. And it's also important, I told you it's not going to be a long one today. It's also important to recognize, as we kind of wrap up this series, to understand that magnitude of the cross by participating in communion this morning. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for reminding us today that true understanding doesn't come from any type of human wisdom, but from your Spirit. Or as Nicodemus learned, we cannot enter the kingdom by our own knowledge or strength. We must be born again through faith in your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, as we leave this place, help us to walk in childlike trust, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and to live as people transformed by your Spirit. Father, I pray our words, actions, and truly our very lives point others to the Savior that gives eternal life. Strengthen us, Father, to carry this truth into the week ahead and days and months and years far beyond. Let us be your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.